Hi, I'm Megan. I'm 37 years old. I live in the Sacred Valley of Peru, and I have three little boys, ages almost 5, 3, and 9 months. I decided to have a home birth for all three of my boys, and I had really kind of very easy pregnancies. I had kind of first trimester low energy, second trimester much easier with better energy, and third trimester was just a lot of discomfort from being so big. But no nausea, no morning sickness. I was really lucky to have such easy pregnancies. Birth, on the other hand, was a little bit more challenging, and I learned a lot from each one. So my first little one, Alex, was a lot about me not knowing my body, not listening to my instincts, and kind of putting my power into other people's hands. So I had had the vision of having a perfect water birth. I'm a Pisces, and I was like, I have to have a tub. But the challenge was really interesting because in Peru, you can't just get clean, hot tap water. So we were told that we had to boil everything over a Peruvian stove with propane. And it turns out it takes a million pots to fill up a tub. And it was a pretty stressful experience. So I didn't end up doing that for my second two. But my midwife was an amazing woman who had studied with sort of indigenous traditions as well as studied Western medicine. And I had really put so much faith in her, and for good reason. She's very, very knowledgeable and really in tune with the process of birthing, but I think that I didn't give enough to myself. So I had also had a history of sexual trauma in my life, so I had done a lot of healing and a lot of processing of it, but during the birth, I realized that there was still a lot more to go. So my cervix stopped dilating at 6.5 centimeters, and it was a 45-hour labor from start to finish. I also was a little freaked out about pooping myself, and so I probably didn't eat enough. So what happened was I noticed that it wasn't progressing kind of linearly. My cervix wasn't opening. So my midwife was really doing her best to be helpful because I didn't quite know what to do. So we were hiking up mountains. She put me in a teeny tiny little tub and closed me in when I was having some claustrophobia with it. We had done like boiling hot herbs and was burning my vagina, and it was really semi-traumatic. And I actually, when we were hiking, I kind of fell sobbing because it was so overwhelming. So what happened was finally around hour 40, she was checking the cervix dilation, and it was unfortunate because she knew it wasn't progressing and I knew it wasn't progressing, but she still had a tool inside of me. And as I was realizing it wasn't going to progress as a home birth, she called the clinic and said, "We have to go right now," in Spanish. The other thing is, it was all in Spanish, and my Spanish at that point, 5 years ago, was not as good as it is now. So it was definitely stressful. So we ended up calling a car, and the car that we had set up, they thought that they had to be available the day before since I had been in labor so long. So my husband actually had to walk down 25 minutes to the terminal to go get a car with a driver we didn't know. And he came to our house, and we all loaded in, and he fell into a water channel because that's a thing here in Peru. So my husband and a neighbor had to lift the car up out of the water channel. I had to get out of the car, and then we had to proceed to Cusco, which is an hour and a half away. And it turns out that there was a ton of construction. So I had a 2.5 hour ride into Cusco on the bumpiest road ever. And by the time I got to the hospital, to the clinic, I went into shock because my blood pressure had skyrocketed. So it was pretty intense. When I got there, the doctor sent my husband away to go get surgical supplies because, again, Peru. And I had no idea what was going on. And all of a sudden, I realized my husband was leaving and they were putting a catheter in me. Well, they put it in, and I had to pee so bad, and I was shaking, and I couldn't see straight, and I asked, "Is it in? Is it in?" They said, "Yeah." said, can I pee? And they said, yeah. Well, they hadn't put it in right. And I had the most painful pee all over myself and my clothes. And I was freezing. And it was just a really kind of traumatic experience. So all of a sudden, I am on the surgical table looking up into the reflection. There was a light above me and I could see my body opened up. And I was like kind of semi out of my body and I could see my body shaking and they were pulling Alex out and putting him on a table. And now luckily my husband was there at that point in full scrubs and picked up our little baby who had just been born and brought him over so I could hold his hand. But it was terrifying. It was a bit horrifying. And, you know, with the spiritual community, knowing that home birth is such a beautiful and connective process to our own strength, all the amazing chemicals that are released upon birth, all of the bonding and keeping the umbilical cord attached, I really felt devastated and almost like my body had gone against me and that I had failed in some way. So it was a lot to process between the trauma of going to a hospital and the feeling of disappointment. And then I had 3 days in the hospital, and I hadn't slept for 3 days at this point. And it was a really interesting thing because here the care is really, it is quite good. It's certainly got its bumps and its discomfort and its maybe less pristine care, I guess you could say, than the Western world, but it was good, and it was pretty unbelievably well-priced, I guess. It was really, it was like $1,000 for a surgery and a 3-day hospital stay, which in the Western world is completely unheard of. So I was really grateful for that. I did want to save the placenta. They did not give us a refrigerator, so I ended up making sure that it was hanging on the window outside of our hospital because it was the cold season here in Peru and it was about refrigeration level. So I was able to save my placenta, which was really, really helpful. I was very much on the fence about saving placenta or encapsulating it or juicing it. But I had actually had an experience where I saw a cat give birth about a month before I gave birth. And she ate every single little placenta that came out. And I had done a lot of research. And when I actually did consume my own placenta, I could immediately feel my energy restored and my emotions balance out. Because I did have some postpartum depression afterwards. And so, yeah, it was quite a journey. When I was ready to leave the hospital, I mean, I just wanted to get out of there because they were really putting pressure on me to go on to formula. And I was like, no, I have to. I already had my colostrum come in. It had only been 3 days, and I had heard it takes about 3 days the first time for your milk to come in. So I was like, no, I'm not going on formula. And they were pushing me and pushing me, and I was like, I need to go. And so I got I got a wheelchair. And I was going all over the clinic because it wasn't super organized. I was like, give me my paperwork. They had lost my shoes. And I was like, I need to get out of here. And I really learned how to advocate for myself. And when I kind of came back after all of the anesthesia and sleep deprivation, I was like, all right, it's go time. Mama needs to get home and recuperate and be nourished and comfortable in my own home. Now, I did have a guest home at the time, and I had 8 people in my house, and so many of the people that we were with were super wonderful, and they had just left us a gift basket and some notes, and they said, you know, settle in, I'm sure this has been so difficult, please just enjoy settling with your family. I was so grateful for that, but there was one girl that had actually just gotten there a couple days before, and she, the moment I walked into my house and my clothes were like ripped open, dirty, I hadn't showered in a week, I was a mess. Well, she came up to me and she just started telling me about how she was in so much pain because she had a blister on her foot. And I'm normally a person that's there to go, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, let me do what I can help. And I couldn't even look at her. And I pulled Eric aside and I was like, get her out of my face. Like, I just went through labor and getting cut open and trying to walk after a C-section. I'm wearing a diaper. Like, I just cannot listen to this girl and her blister. So it was a really interesting thing to see somebody who had been so excited to be there for a birth just have so little awareness of what a mama needs. But I was very grateful for our other friends that were able to be there to support and help me in my new mommyhood, because so many people focus on the pregnancy, but they kind of forget that when you have that baby, your life totally changes and your schedule changes, your needs change. And it was just nice to have a lot of supportive people there for me as well. So I learned so much from that. I was really looking back at that and so grateful for Western medicine and so grateful that my baby and I were able to be saved. I learned so much about advocating for myself. I was truly grateful, you know, for both sides, for home birth and for Western medicine. So that was a heck of a first birth. And I have done a lot of sort of like rebirthing ceremonies and connection, and I really believe that my son and I are so bonded and so connected, and that we both really chose that way to come in. And it was quite a journey. It was very, very humbling, and the recuperation was months. It was really months for my body to kind of heal on so many levels and to go a lot deeper into my own self-awareness and why my cervix hadn't opened, why I had closed up out of fear from my sexual trauma. So it was really profound that it was able to bring that all to my attention and help me to sort of see the amazing lessons. So I also had a difficult time with my midwife because, you know, I really didn't feel heard the first time around, and I really felt like I had given her so much power. And so when I got pregnant, and I got pregnant 6 months later with my second one, and it was very intentional because my husband and I were like, you know, we live in Peru, we have so many friends that come and go, and we really think that our kids being able to play with each other, really know each other and bond would be so amazing. And both his brothers and my brothers were about a year and a half apart, not even 2 years apart. And we saw so many benefits from it. And we were like, yeah, wouldn't it be great to have back-to-back boys? And, you know, I'm feeling so much better. I healed very quickly afterwards. And basically, the way that things manifest here in Peru is if you even state it, I mean, you better be ready. So the next month, I was pregnant with my second. And so because me and my midwife had so many kind of hiccups the first time around, I felt it was really important to have a deep conversation with her and, you know, say where I was disappointed, say where I was frustrated, say where I felt like I hadn't been heard. And she was so open and so helpful. And she had actually told me that she hadn't birthed that many children from Western women. And so she said that it was a very helpful process to kind of understand the depth of some of the traumas and the body self-loathing and some of the things that we Western women had been through that she just hadn't seen to that depth in Peru. So the conversation we had was very important, and we were both very open, and it really turned out to be very bonding and very important to show our vulnerability and the things that had come up for both of us. So we had done some work to work through some of the sexual abuse, body hate and shame, control issues, as well as just finding my power and finding my voice to speak what I knew, because I had done a lot of healing. I did know my body pretty well. And the second time around, I vowed to trust my body more. So with my second baby, Liam, I had 60 hours of labor. I did not have a water birth, and I had only four people in my house at that time, because we still had a small guest home. So basically, I had Giardia which is a parasite that creates a bacterial infection that causes an enormous amount of diarrhea and rotten egg burps. And so the Giardia onset pretty much the moment I went into labor. And so the second lesson I had to learn was the messiness of life. And Ruru actually said it was pretty common for women to have diarrhea and that there was a certain amount that the body was cleansing itself and helping to support the contractions. So I was back and forth into the bathroom about 150 times. I was hanging on the towel rack that was above my toilet and just shaking, trying to keep myself balanced as contractions would come. So it was intense. It was another very, very intense birth. And I remember this time I was able to have the baby at home, and we weren't sure for a little bit, and it was a high risk theoretically pregnancy, but I had known that I could do it this time, and Ruru really trusted me as well. So the thing that would happen with Liam is that I had so much pain and my contractions really wouldn't loosen up. Excuse me. Got a little frog in my throat. It's late at night. So I would have these deep contractions, and they would tighten and they would almost shake, that I couldn't release them between contractions. So I was really trying to retrain my body to open them back up. And the pain was so intense that I could almost feel myself leaving my body. And as I would go into that space of like almost between life and death, Ruru would just look at me and she would grab me, grab my hands really gently but very firmly, look into my eyes, and she would say, "Breathe with me. Breathe with me and look into my eyes and smile." And I remember just thinking, "You are batshit crazy, woman. I don't know how I can smile." But there was something that I would, that really helped, and I would like laugh with her, and she really kept me in my body. And she would be burning certain oils, and she had the warm kind of wet heat going. We had a heater with a wet towel over it to keep things really humid and keep the oxytocin and keep the body calm and warm, which was really wonderful. So I really saw this moment of why women leave during birth. So the other thing that I wanted to mention is that the first time around, I did not feel very connected to my partner, my husband, Eric. And it was really, I had had a history of abandonment as well. I was an adoptee. And so I had a pattern of pushing people away or people kind of emotionally abandoning me. And so the first time, I really felt alone. Like, Eric was so focused on heating the water for that big tub that I told you about. And I really didn't feel connected to him. And I remember, and he also, after Alex, our first, was born, he was a bit checked out. He was in shock that I was on the table. He thought he was going to lose me. He was in shock about being a father. And so he was a bit disassociated for about 6 to 8 months for our first baby. So even during the birth and during the first kind of entrance into motherhood, I felt very, very alone. And the second time around, we had talked about that too. And I was like, you know, I need to know that you're in this with me. I need you to be physically there. And he was. And he was in and out a little bit. But then I would say, "Eric, I need you." And he would be there. And I realized it was because he didn't know when to come and when not to. Because when you're giving birth, there are times you really just need to be alone and you kind of want everyone to leave. And there are times you really need the support. And to advocate for yourself in that state is quite difficult because you're kind of here, you're kind of there, and you're in some pain, you're giving birth. So learning how to speak and advocate without aggression, without pushing away, I was able to say, "Eric, I need you." And he was like giving me this amazing electrolyte lemonade. It was like salted honey lemonade. He made it in gallons. He was making me juices to help keep my strength up. He made me like the most amazing deep hot chocolate when it was time to push. But then he was also with me in the room, And he was holding my hand and he was rubbing my back and he was holding me up and helping me through contractions. And I mean, we went 60 hours and it was a long, long trip. But at the very end, oh, by the way, Liam got stuck in my birth canal. My cervix opened, but then he got his head stuck in my birth canal. And I could feel his head so close. And I was pushing so hard. And my midwife was like, don't let out a sound. You take all of your energy and you just take it from the top and you push down into yourself. And you don't release any of that energy out, not even a sound. You just take a breath and then you go. And I did that for 6 hours. I was pushing for 6 hours. His head was stuck in my birth canal for like 5 hours. And so she would put the heartbeat monitor on him and had me listen. And she said, you need to breathe. If you forget to breathe, his heart beats less. Listen to this. And I just remember focusing so much on every single breath and having the thought, if I can learn how to breathe now, I can breathe anytime. And you just realize the power of breath. So I was doing my 6 hours of pushing and I was doing my best, obviously. It's not like I wanted to just be like, oh, let's keep him in the birth canal for a while. That'd be fun. So Ruro was starting to get concerned. Eric was starting to get concerned. I was definitely starting to get concerned. And Ruro was actually about to cut. She had gotten her tools, her surgical tools out. And she just looked over at Eric. And I, at the same time, said, Eric, sing. And Eric's gift, like one of many of Eric's gifts, is song. And he started singing this Lakotan gratitude song. And the whole room shifted. And then he reached around me and he had his hands on his belly. And Ruro kind of signaled to him to help me push. And he pushed down on my belly on that one. And Liam popped out. And he was fully in the sack, completely protected, which was so great. Because remember that whole Giardia thing where I was pooping? So he was in the sack. There was no bacterial contamination. He was totally protected. But he had the cord wrapped around his neck twice and he had been stuck in my birth canal for hours. So he didn't breathe when he came out. And I don't know if it was 15 seconds or if it was 10 hours, but he didn't breathe. It was 15 seconds, felt like 10 hours. And we just like prayed and talked to him and said, Lini, come to this family. We want you here. Please, you're so welcome. We worked so hard to get here. And it was the most long and terrifying moment. And I felt this pain of mothers who had lost their baby after such a journey to bring the baby into this world. And thank God, and I'm so grateful that Liam breathed. And he cried. And his color got back to normal. And he just immediately latched. And we were connected with the umbilical cord. And I just lay there so tired and he was on me and he was on me for hours like that. And just, it was so incredible. And Eric just held me and I was holding Liam and it felt so connected as a partnership and it rebuilt our relationship as partners. And we really felt like all of us in that room had worked together. And so it was beautiful. That was number two, Giardia, 60 hours and stuck in the birth canal. But lots of amazing lessons from that one. So, hey, you want another baby? Sure. We waited another 2 years this time. So my last little one, Julian, at this point, Eric and I had much better fallen into the flow of parenthood. And we really saw another baby coming. And again, we sort of set that intention a month later. We were pregnant. And this time, I felt so at ease with the whole thing. I was like, man, if I could go from a C-section to, you know, 18 months later giving birth naturally, I was like, I just know that this is going to go really well. So, oh, the other thing I wanted to say is with Liam, we actually had a friend that had been taking care of Alex, and so he went over to their house. So I was able to really completely focus on the birth. And we didn't want it, if there was anything that it would happen, we didn't want Alex to be there as mommy's getting shipped off to the hospital, etc. So the second time, both boys were home with us. So I had a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old while I was giving birth. So everything was progressing beautifully, linearly, quickly, and really calmly. And I was just like, yes, this is great. Well, there were some hiccups and my boys wanted me to put them down to sleep as I'm having contractions every minute. And they just refused to let daddy do it. And I was like, okay, I could let them scream or I could just, I'm still just laying and breathing. I can go put them down to sleep. So I went and I put my boys down to sleep. So we go to sleep by reading books and cuddling and then breathing. And then they fall asleep in my arms. And then I move them to the side. So that's what I did. Well, after about an hour, Liam, the second one, moved. He woke up, and I was going into active labor at this point, and he just decided to have the biggest meltdown on the planet. Like, he wanted mommy now, and at that point, the labor was getting very intense and was screaming, and right then, that's when Ruro showed up. So Ruro shows up, I've got a screaming baby, and then I was just like, bring him up, it's okay, bring him up. So he cuddled in with me and immediately chilled out, and so I had little Leams and Eric in the room with me, and he got to see the whole birth. And this time it was 12 hours, which for me was incredible after 40-something and 60-something. 12 hours was just like a no biggie. So it was still very intense. I rocked, I breathed, and I opened up my cervix. It opened up so quickly, and it was just... it was beautiful. And the thing that was amazing is that this time I got to feel, I was more here because I wasn't in so much pain that I was sort of disassociating a bit. I was really, really aware. I was really, really conscious. And I could feel every single shift of my body. I knew when my cervix would open. I was like, you know what, Ruru, can you check my cervix? It's open. And she looked and she's like, we're at 10. This is incredible. And then as she went to check, Julian's head just popped right out. Sound effects, no problem. So he just started moving through the birth canal, and I could feel each time she was like, you know what, you're ready to push. And I was like, yeah, I am. And so I would bear down and I would push, and each time I could feel him moving further, and I could feel him moving further. And it took me like 4 pushes, which was incredible after, you know, 6 hours, and I could feel him crowning, and I remember everyone talking about the ring of fire, because I don't even remember the first time. I was just in so much pain, and I was like, it hit the ring of fire when his head started to crown, and I just, like, had this huge celebration, and I had this voice inside of me that was like, you can do this, and I did it, and I just pushed, and he popped right out, and Ruru caught him, put him right in my arms, and it was incredible. I mean, Liam still... after 9 months, we'll still be like, mommy, I saw your vagina and there was so much blood and you couldn't hold me for a little bit. And I'm like, yep, that was birth. I did that for you boys. And he was just like, yeah. And then Alex, honestly, he's a little more squeamish. And he was like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't see that. But I'm glad I got to see the baby the next morning. But the boys just absolutely love each other. They play really well together. They take such good care of their little brother, and just seeing the progression and doing it quite quickly and doing it at an age that's not a total spring chicken, 37, felt pretty amazing. I really look at birth as sort of the ceremony for women, the initiation into a completely different phase of life and knowingness. And it's a welcome into service. It's a profound understanding of our own power. It's a reflection of everything within us that has ever happened to us as a woman, as a human. And, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for my midwife, my family, the fact that I get to be a mom. I had left Los Angeles. I had a sort of a previous life before A Simple Life in Peru, where I really didn't even see how it would be possible to ever be a mother. And I was 30 and I left everything. And I really had just sort of grieved the idea of motherhood and said, you know what, I think I know I want to be a mother, but I also understand that I might not. And I had some really deep grief processing over it. So then when I got to be a mom, I mean, it was just such a gift. And I was so grateful that I had lived sort of a crazy wild life, that I was really ready to be a mom, and I was ready to do it in a way that I wanted to do it. And so I'm just deeply grateful for the entire process, and for all of the mothers out there and the to-be mothers out there, just such love and respect. And if you're about to give birth, I believe in you, believe in your body, and trust the process, and whatever it will be, it will be. But so much love for mamas, and thank you for listening, and may we have such deep, profound reverence for life. Thank you. Ciao.